Okay, let's review. We were in the middle of discussing the Pasuk of Aleph, Mishlei Perek Yutes, Pasuk of Aleph, Rabbetz Machashavas Bladish, Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokom. A person has many machshavas, many plans, but Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokom, what's the Yiddish expression? A mensch. Say it again. A mensch. Tracht. And a got lacht.
That's the English version.
And what's the English? What's the English version?
Man proposes, God disposes.
Right. Man proposes, God disposes.
Correct.
Okay. And Shlomo said it. Ravos machashavas bladish vatzas Hashem Yitzakim. We had discussed the interpretations. We discussed the issue. Did Shlomo say this or did David say this? I'm suing the Zimmer Tzmashma that this is from the words of David. And Shlomo here perhaps is just recording what his father David would often say when he was a child at home. Then we discussed the idea Atzas Hashem Hi Sakum. This is the source for the famous expression Im Yirtza Hashem, that you can plan all you want, but Hashem has to give His okay. And in fact, the word He is Rosh Tevos Im Yirtza Hashem. Okay. We also discussed that this is the only pasuk in the Psuke the Zimra that is from Mishlei. And there are various midrashim. The midrash specifically applies this pasuk in reference to Avshalom. And the reason why they apply this to Avshalom, because we have to remember that this pasuk Chafal, is part of a series of psukim of Chinuch HaBonim. Pasuk starting with pasuk Yitches, Yas Bincha Ki Yesh Tekva, and the pasuk and pasuk Yitches also wasn't explicit, where it says Gedol Chema Nosi Oynishki Im Tatzel Oytoysif. That was also a pasuk telling a father that if he has a child that is an angry child, don't try to hold him back. By trying to hold him back, you're just going to make things worse. And then it told pasuk Chaf is to tell the child the idea of giving Musar. Don't expect to see instantaneous results. The results are in the long term. And now Pasuk Chaf Aleph does not really appear to be part of the sequence of events of Chinuch HaBonim. Other Pesukim fit very much well into the idea of Chinuch, but Pasuk Chaf Aleph does not fit in that well. That's why the Medrash says it does. This refers specifically to Avshalom. Avshalom was David's son. This child wanted to kill David, kill his own father. And in fact, David had to flee his palace, had to flee his home because of the threat that Avshalom posed to his life. But Avshalom's plans did not come to fruition. Rabos Machashavos Bavish, a child may have many plans. You need not worry. V'atzas Hashem Hisok Mashem's Hashem's plan will ultimately prevail. I'll read the words of the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili Kenegin Miyama Shlomo Mikrozeh Medrash Mishlei. Medrash Mishlei Kenegin Miyama Shlomo Mikrozeh Lo Yamu Ela Kenegin Avshalom Be'achiv. So Shlomo said this concerning his brother. Not and the Shlomo's brother was Avshalom. Many people who wanted the Malchus. Shei Mechashe Beliba V'Amar Imcharig Ani David Avi Ani Neitel Hamalucha. Avshalom wanted to kill his father and take the Malucha for himself. But who in Yodea? Why he?
There's a story about Noam Tamar, right?
Okay.
So the education, what you said, chinuch, the chinuch, there was a missing.
There was a lack of chinuch, and that led, one thing led to another. There was a mistake in chinuch that he did not properly educate Amnon. Discipline them to allow them to. And that one thing led to another, so it's all part. You have to study the entire episode. It was all about chinuch. And Shlomo said about of his brother, he said about himself, other things in mind. Hashem wanted Shlomo to be the melech. Okay, that's one medrash. Another medrash is also refers to Adonia ben Chagis. That was another person who wanted to usurp the throne. After when David was about to die, Adonia ben Chagis misnaseh limani enloch this to haftarah. Which haftarah is this? I don't remember. Parshas Chayisar, maybe?
What?
Adonia ben Chagis, misnaselim ani emloch. And then David and Bathsheba comes to save the day. Bathsheba with Nosan Hanavi. Okay, whatever it is. But it says that he had Adonia ben Chagis also. So we have already two Shlomo HaMelech here. It's a very interesting. Is saying this in reference to his own brothers. Shlomo HaMelech twice almost lost the Malchus. Either
before he had it.
Before he had it. He was meant to have it, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis, but twice he came very close to losing it, from Adoniah ben Chagis, that was at the end, and from the other brother Avshalom in the beginning. Okay, who else does the Medrash reply this to? To Haman HaRasha. Haman said, I'll read you the words, Purim is coming pretty soon, in 42 days. In 42 days until Purim. Yeah. So what did Haman say? Okay, that's the case. So let me show you what's over here in the Medrash Mishlei. Zeh on a Rosh Hashanah, Machash B'Liv Yemer. L'machani Mashkin V'Yemer L'Melech Maasei Mordechai. Tomorrow I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to tell the king that we're going to put Mordechai to death, because Mordechai Lo Yichra V'Lo Yishtachave. Everything in his life was perfect. The only thing that was lacking in the life of Haman was that Mordechai would refuse to bow down. And he was so impatient, he went to him in the middle of the night, and then the tables were turned. V'hu mashlimo biyadi v'lo hayodesh machshavtesh l'kodesh baruch hu kodemis l'shalo shneva v'yatsas Hashem v'yisakom. Who is the fourth person of the Medrash? The fourth person is Paro, this week's Parsha. Paro said, well, really back to Parsha Shemos, kol habein hayiloid hayo'ira tash l'chu rabos machashavos plavish v'atsas Hashem v'yisakom, from his own house. His own daughter ended up saving the Moshiach Shel Yishol. Paru Vayishtu Ayiv Vyatsu B'mod Mod. So we have here four people. Now I'm sure a good darshan, we have to pick the mind of Rabbi Mayevsky, will tell us the significance of this Medrash. The Medrash gives four different people to whom we apply this pasuk. Obviously, if you study, you know well, study these four people, each one represents a different concept, a different mahalich, a different dimension of this concept of Rabbos Nachashavos Blavish Vatsas Hashem Yisakom. Avshalom, Adoniah ben Chagis, Haman, and Paro. Four different examples, each one probably has some in a unique lesson. Now, we didn't do what? Well, not necessarily, because Avshalom wanted to kill his father, but it's a very, very different approach. Avshalom wanted to kill his own father. And how would history record such a person?
And Avshalom was crowned. Had a bunch of people with him.
Well, they both had. They both had. They, okay. bo- they
he
both.
Went down. Adonai went down to be crowned.
He went down and
he never made it.
He never, but he almost. But okay.
They campaigned for it.
But he had with him the cabinet. A good Yoav, the Sar Tzava. Yoav was with Adonijah. A significant number of David's supporters, the people who made David who he was, supported Adonijah ben Chagis. It was a very different type of. If Adonijah ben Chagis would have succeeded, it could have very well be that he would have gone down in history as a good guy. He would have. He was a clever. He was able to manipulate things, a good politician, to work things out that he should be the king. I don't know if necessarily he would have gone down in history as being a criminal, someone who murdered his father. No. So,
as we know, a great campaigner doesn't necessarily make a good leader.
Okay. But nevertheless, it's a whole different approach. And obviously, Haman was obviously a very big Russian. Paro. Okay, each one represents an entirely different realm, dimension of this category. And the bottom line is, everything in life is like this. Rabos Machashavos Tovish Vatsas Hashem Yitzchak Makeh. It's also in the art school. He said, the interesting thing is that when the person has a dilemma, and he says this in one of the Balei Emunos, when a person has a dilemma in life, doesn't know what to do, through his mind it passes many, many options, many thoughts and many ideas. And the person should recognize, I don't know how you can say this, is that why does a person have so many different thoughts, so many different options? Where do they come from? Machshava comes from the Yetzirah, one comes from one koyach, all Kabbalistic things. But one machshava comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always planting ideas in our mind. And Rabbis Machashavos Belevish, a person should know that in his mind there are ideas being planted by the Yetzirah, by other forces, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he should always seek to fulfill the Atzas Hashem Hi Sukkum. He's giving instructions. The Atzas Hashem is the one that we should focus on and try to discern that this is the Machshava, the ultimate plan. Here it is. Rav Shlomo Walba. That's you know the name of the sefer. What's the name of the sefer called? Rav Shlomo Walba. It's very Alei Shur. Familiar with Alei Shur? The Sarm Alei Shur. Two thick volumes. They put out after he was nifted some more volumes on Tefillah and other things. So he writes. He says, when every person has a decision to make, many options pass through his mind, only one of which is the advice of Hashem. A person's job is to detect which one that is. With the proper concentration and self-discipline, it is within his power to do so. Amazing idea. Ali Shur.
You know what you should do. The question is, you look for reasons not to,
because it's difficult. That machshav Hashem put there, atzas Hashem Hi, it's an instruction. It's instructive.
What I thought perhaps is what Paro was so different than the other three that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that the others, while they had great amounts of power, they didn't reach the pinnacle of power as Paro did. The other three had aspirations for even greater power,
but they didn't have it yet.
So there's some reason for what they did. Paro had it all. He was the most powerful man in the world at the time, so there was no aspiration for greater power perhaps. So what he did was real vicious. Because he just did it out of spite. He had nothing to gain. He was where he was.
How
he
was.
Get a higher level of Paro.
But even there at Atzas Hashem.
It was Paro.
Okay. Okay, so this is a very interesting idea. He Sokum. Okay, it's according to Rav Shlomo Walba, it's instructive. Rabbis, you should always be aware there. Rabbis machshavas blavish, but you should realize Atzas Hashem He. That's the one Sokum that you shall prevail. I found in my notes, in my siddur, I once spent time perish at tefillin. I wrote down different things, and this pasuk I wrote down. I don't know what it means. Maybe you can tell me what it means. The word sokum is rashi tevos. Without the vav, the mem, the last mem is misa, the kuf is kever, and the sof is. Yeah, that's right. Trias amesim tria. So these are the three things. These are the life, tchias hamesim, the kever, and misa. Okay, I'm not sure what that means exactly. He sakum HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that has the koyach over these three things. The ultimate equalizer is the grave. Is Misa in the grave, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in his power to be Mechayim Esim. Alright, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, there is one other important medrash. The other medrash, B'Mas Mashos Lavish, says there's a mice in the Gemara where a person was Mispalel. The Gemara says, here it is, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. People would line up every day at his front door and ask him for advice. Should I buy this stock or should I sell? Sell short or buy stock? What should I do? Maybe all different eitzes. And people came to him, and obviously, if they were coming back for more advice, he was very successful. So Amrulu, they said to him, "How do you know? How do you always give the right solution to every problem?" Amrulu, Navi Ata. Amar Lohem, so he told them, this is Medrash Tehillim. Loi Navi Anoichi, Loi Ben Navi. I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Anoichi. Ela, Kachem Mikublani Mirabo Yisai. Shechol Eitza Shehi L'Shem Shamayim Seifa L'Hiskayim. If I give an Eitza that it's purely L'Shem Shamayim, you can guarantee it's the right thing. That's why they come to me. And about Zeh, Rabbi Menasseh Mikra Molehu, it's a pasuk, Rabos Machashavos Blavish, Batsas Hashem Hisakom. When the Eitza is Hashem, meaning it's L'Shem Shamayim, you can be guaranteed it will succeed. This is always the test of of success. I heard once, someone told me an interesting story, there's an interesting idea. There's a person I know that he was he's a very successful person, and a lot of people are coming to him and they're asking for advice. They're trying to copy his success. He's a very nice, good guy, and he's in the technology field. He does a lot of startups, he had a startup, and he's very successful. He knows how to structure his business and raise money and go from one level to another level. Now he's already partnering with Google, Adobe. He's really reached the spitz of his career, and a lot of his friends and other people are seeking his advice, and he's inundated with requests, some for money, some a lot of things people just want for free, just to give them some advice. And he doesn't have the time. He doesn't have the time of the koyach to respond to all the various people. So he went to a rav, and the rav said to him, he asked him, what should I do? I don't know. I'm one hand, I have to work. I work a full day. On the other hand, I want to do chesed. I want to help people, and I don't know how to balance all the requests. So the Rav said to him, "I don't have an answer for you. I'll tell you the following. I once read an article about Meir Zlotowicz, Art Scroll, and the article it said that Meir Zlotowicz every single day on his desk, and I don't know if everything is, I'm just telling you, everything is third hand what I've heard, every day on his desk there are piles and piles of manuscripts every type of book and novel and safer you can possibly imagine. People, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of learning, a lot of people are very successful people, and they want it published, and they will you publish this manuscript?" And he said that his criteria to decide what he publishes is, will this lead to a ribui in yirah shamayim, in the world? And if the money leads to money, sales, that's a given. Okay, that's a given. That's an understatement. After we know that it will lead to money, which the truth is, what they claim it does early, most things they publish don't make money. It's a foundation. I don't know how things work, but this is what it says in the article. I don't know. Everything I'm telling you is third hand. And this person was very impressed. Was very impressed with that. That's a very interesting idea. Someone presents a sefer. Will this lead to a ribui in yirah shamayim in the world? And if the answer is yes, then yeah, we'll go for it. If the answer is there's a nice thing, it's a very nice thing, but it's not going to significantly enhance any yirah shamayim. No. So he told this person that should be your criteria, and he said that it completely opened up his mind, completely changed his outlook on dealing with people, because every day people are coming to him, goyim, Jews, they're coming to him, they're asking him for advice, for help, assistance, to partner with him. And the basic answer now he uses this advice is that if this will read, if my connection to this person, even among goyim, not talking about Jews, among goyim, will definitely enhance some degree of yirah shamayim, some kavod shamayim, yes. It put him in a frame of mind which completely took off the burden of dealing with all of these requests. And that's what it says in the pasuk. That's exactly what this medrash says. Atzas Hashem hi sokum. If the Eitzah is l'shem shemayim, a ribin kavod shemayim, that you can be guaranteed sokum. That's something that will stand, will be successful. Yeah.
This old Yiddish saying that now makes a lot of sense. It says if you want Hatzlacha in business, you go to a Rebbe for bracha. If you want your Shemaim, you go to an Asher.
Say it in Yiddish.
You
said that
you don't want anybody else to
stay. So the reason you go to a Rebbe is because a Rebbe supposedly is a holy guy. He's only interested in spiritual things. So the money to him is Shemaim.
Yeah.
Where Asher will put aside the Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
So if you want your Shemaim, you go to Asher. There's plenty to spare.
There's plenty to spare. It's a joke. We're saying it's a joke, but it's really just
a lot of people, they make the Rebbe a partner in the business.
Oh, that's a Hasidish thing, because you want his partnership to be a zechus. It should be him. Okay, but this is another idea. Atzas Hashem Yisakum. It's a very powerful idea. Is if it's going to be l'shem shemaim. Atzas Hashem means if the eitzah is l'shem shemaim, eitzah sheyesh ba devar Hashem Yisakum, then you know that it's a good idea. If it does not lead to more year Shemayim, then it's not necessarily a good idea. Now we didn't yet do even the let's see the mitzvot in the Rashi. We didn't do that yet. The mitzvot of Yisus Pasuk Chafal Rabbis Lepamim Yachshavod Machshavas Rabbis Shainis Zo Mizo Mitzvot Pasuk Chafay. Sometimes a person has different plans. Ve'ein Echem Mechem Miskayim Ach Adav Asher Yos Hashem Yisakom. The only thing which will succeed will be the clan of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yim Lo Hoysam In Hamachshavas Shachashavu. Even if the way the Mitzvot learns this pasuk is even not like Shlomo Albus says. Now what is an Ali Shur? Even if it wasn't one of your original plans, a person has on paper 10 options. We have a dilemma. We have 10 options. What to do? And what was the product, the final result? Number 11. But 11 wasn't part of the original plan. And that's exactly what this pasuk is saying according to the Mitzvot, the Rabbis, Machashavos. You have 10 different options on paper, and what yet goes forward, is implemented, is plan number 11. It's just Hashkocha Pratis, because Atzas Hashem Hi Sokom. Rashi does not comment on this pasuk. Let's go to pasuk Chof Beis. Tavas Adam Chasto V'Rutoiv Rosh Me'ish Kazav. Two parts of the pasuk. Let's first see the Mitzvot, pasuk Chof Beis. The desire of man is his kindness. What does that mean? Pasuk of base. Tavas. Masha brios yisavu el ben ha'adam. This that people yisavu, they desire to come close to a person who ba'avur ha'chesed shivtiach lohem. It's because of promises. The reason why people rally around a candidate, a political candidate, is because he promises them he's going to reduce taxes. Okay, why does everyone have followers, a fan club, big likes on Facebook? Because they make empty promises. They promise you the world. If this is what you need, they're going to promise you that they're going to take care of you. So Tavas Adam, so according to the Mitzvot Stav, the interpretation of the pasuk is the Tavas Adam, meaning other people, outsiders. And Tava here means their attachment, their desire to be your friend, their desire to come close to you, is why Chasto is because of the kindness that you promise to bestow upon them. Aval, now the pasuk goes forward, Aval Oshir, Hamavtiach Chesed, V'choyzeh, the pasuk concludes then, but an Oshir who promises chesed, v'choizev, and he lies, he does not fulfill his promises, hine harosh tov mimenu, the poor man is better. If the person does not come through to his promises, he would have been a nobody in this world, he would have been better, ki al ki lo matzo yadoi, v'ein darko lehavtiach, a poor man doesn't have the means to promise, v'ein nevi anashim l'dei kilyon einayim, and does not disappoint people. So it's better to be in this world a nobody, and then to be a world famous personality at whom you disappoint, everyone is disappointed in. And empty promises is not going to bring you satisfaction. The ain maybe anashmuli they kill you. Okay, fine. This is the parish of the mitzvah. So review the pasuk one more time. Tavas adam chasto. The reason why people rally around the person is because of his kindness. But if he does not come forward, does not come and fulfill his promises, v'tov rosh meish kazav, better off not being this world famous personality. You're going to disappoint everyone. Okay, pasuk chaf. Based in Rashi, Tavas Adam Chasto, Ikur Shehabriyos Misavim Lo Adam, same exact thing as the Mitzvah. This is the main reason why people want to, they desire to come near, to support, to befriend a person, Ba'avur Chasto, due to the fact that he has power to do kindness. Ve'toiv Rosh Mish Kazav, Ve'im Ish Kazav, who, if he is a liar, or Maftiach, he makes promises, Ve'enai Oiseh, Toiv Ish Rosh Menu, it would have been better off having been been an anonymous person in this world. I told you this many times,
he's talking about both of them promise, but you know that the Rosh can't deliver, so you're not disappointed.
V'toiv Rosh, who makes promises.
He
doesn't say that. That's different interpretation. That's another interpretation. He knows he's not disappointed because he knows he's anyway a liar. So we shouldn't have tithes now, politicians. All of the broken promises. Two things come to mind. I told you once a few times that George W. Bush, he once told people that now when you get older in life, he has no friends. He said it's impossible at this point in life to acquire new friends. We, a regular person, I can say a regular person, you could always look for friends because if they like you, they like you lishma. You have nothing to give them. What am I going to give you in return? You like a person because you like a person. He says, who are his friends? Only people, my friends, are my childhood friends. Anyone at this point in my life that's trying to befriend me, it's only because they want something from me. Because of my position, my power. The President of the United States, even now, I'm not the President, but the covet to be associated with a former President of the United States is so great, it's not shaykh. He didn't say the word shaykh, but it's not possible for a person to befriend me at this point in my life, l'shmo. It's an amazing concept. A person reaches a certain state of fame. That's what the pasuk Tavas Adam Chasto. Why do people befriend other people? Because of what they have to offer, the kindness that they. What can they do for you? And that's a very sad state of affairs for a person. They don't have the ability any longer. He's the only friends I have. I can look back at my childhood friends. I can pull out my Rolodex. This generation doesn't know what that is anymore. But I can pull out my Rolodex, and those are the only ones I can really come close to. Okay, there's another thing I told you that this is a joke. We once spoke about this. Is that a person, the Achanei, the Eshmi, comes to Shemaim, and they tell him, where do you want to go? You're 50-50, we give you a choice. You can go to Gehenim, or you can go to Gan Eden. Where do you want to go? So let's check it out. Get a tour. But one thing, after you make the decision, you can't change your mind. You're going to be there forever. So he goes to Gan Eden, and he sees the Beis Medrash, they're sitting and learning, the floor is not so clean, the coffee's not so good, and the shiurim are, they're mediocre, not all the shiurim are so good either. it's like today, there's construction going on, whatever, there's a lot of activities going on in Gan Eden. Alright, not bad. Alright, let's see what Gehenna looks like. Goes into the elevator, they take him to the sub-basement, all the way down into the bunker. He comes there in Gehenna, and he's greeted. He's greeted by everyone comes out to greet him, and everyone is wearing beautiful clothing, and it's clean, and the food, they put out platters,
sushi,
and you name it, and all the best food, and he's very impressed. And they have good entertainment. It's very good, it's not bad. He comes back to the desk, and it's new. You have to make a decision, and you can't change your mind. Whatever you decide, that's it. You're stuck forever, literally 50-50. So he says, I never thought I would say this, but I think I'll choose Gehenna. I know, because Gehenna is, it's not bad. It's not bad. The accommodations are pretty good. Okay, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Take him downstairs. The elevator opens up, and it's a dump. It's filthy, and the starvation, this poverty, and there's nothing of nothing. And then he sees the people that yesterday were greeting him dressed up in their finest. And what happened? Yesterday you all came and you made promises, you showed me around, wow, how beautiful this place is. So they said, yeah, yesterday we were campaigning. Now that we won, you voted for us, now this is the world of reality. This is the mashal for all the politicians. Tavas adam chasto. You desire to come close to a person, what they can do for you. And then when they betray you, the toiv rosh miish kazov, it would have been better off with the poor people voting for the people who don't have what to offer than being disappointed by these great politicians. Okay, this is one interpretation. There's another interpretation. This is a very interesting idea. We were chesed. We always associate with chesed. We are brainwashed to train the chesed in kindness. It's a word that has a very positive connotation. A baal chesed. Right? You're talking shidduchim. Tell me about the boy.
oh, the boy, he's a Baal Chesed. Or the girl, a Baal Has Chesed, Simchas Achayim, all of these nice, these terms. But the truth is, in the Torah, it's not the way it's always used. Okay, Rabbi Meskel, what's the pasuk in the parashat Achrimos, in a sister, if a person marries a sister, it's an abomination, and the strongest form of abomination is incest, is a sister, Chesed Hu. Okay, and Yom HaKippurim, none other than Yom HaKippurim, a Shabbat Mincha, you say the pasuk that a sister incest is called Chesed. And what does that mean? Obviously, it's even a stronger term than a to'eva. I once heard a drasha, so the strongest word in the Torah is a to'eva. That is the top word, the most shocking, harshest word in the Torah, a to'eva. Mishkav Zohar is a to'eva. When they had this whole thing with the same gender, all that type of stuff, to'eva, this is the strongest word in the Torah. It's not true. I respectfully disagree. The strongest word in the Torah is Chesed. It's even a more extreme form of a to'eva. What does it mean? It's a very, so here, you know, just to take that word for a moment, put aside the good connotation, which we'll come back to in a moment. That's what this pasuk means. In fact, many people indeed say this. Maybe the Ralbach says this. I don't have the stuff in front of me. That's what it is. Tavas Adam Chasto. Tava here means a person's. It's taivas. Taiva generally is a negative word. It means a person is out of control. A person has a taiva to do avera, to gili araya, shrichastamim, avodazara, all the gutazachin. The tavas adam, this is, if the pasuk would say it's ta'avoso, that is his abomination, a person's uncontrolled desires. That's really what it says here. But it just says in even stronger terms, the tavas Adam is chasto. It's an that is the abomination of a person. And then the pasuk, I don't know really how it ties well into the, and how it ties into the next part, but the Tov Rosh Meish Kozov, disappointing a person is also a very great form of an abomination. That's what it would seem to follow. That's another. When you let down people, people have expectations and they have faith in you. When you let them down, that's another form of an abomination. Now, yeah.
That idea, Rav Moshe Shapiro describing the Mida of Shmuel as Chesed, also
the Mida of who?
Of Yishmael
as Chesed, unbridled Chesed, Gilei Rais, Shetufei Zima, the seven virgins in heaven, Shetufei Zima, a religion of Shetufei Zima. That's the whole contradiction. The whole contradiction is why are they wearing burkas? What are they masquerading in tznius when they're promising all the martyrs? Well, what's the reward for? What?
70 virgins.
So what's going on? The kula shekel. Well, what's all this about over here? Okay, but that's, and then you have the other chazal. The other problem is that chazal tell us that the ones that are shetuvei zima by matan Torah, who are the ones? Everyone asks, what does it say in the Torah? So it says in one medrash, it says that they ask Yishmol, and it says lo sirtzach, not for us. They went to Esav. What does it say? Lo tinaf, not for us. So it's punfakert. So it should be the opposite. Esav, we know in history, are the Reitzchen, the Crusaders, and Yishmol is the Niaf. So just the opposite. So Elchanan. So they say that's the sakana that the living is the Mashiach. Because Esav, at the end of Esav's life, what happened after Yitzchak married Rivka? Esav got jealous. He did a good shidduch. I also want to do a shidduch after Yaakov. After Yaakov married Rachel and Leah, so Esav went to Nevoyos Bas Yishmael. It was the zivug of Esav and Yishmael, which basically each one took from the other. Each one, Mesamel, it's the Mice of a similar bond, and his home will come when each one will switch. And now we're living in a tekufa, which Mamish Pumfakert. It's Mamish. And this door, what is Yishmael Isaac in? Ritzicha. Terrorism is led by Yishmael. And what is Esav? Esav Shetuf Ezima. The whole world, Esav, the European countries, is their biggest tzara is they out of control. Shetuf Ezima. But Shetuf Ezima is something that was meant to be for Yishmael. And Ritzicha was meant to be for Esav. And in this generation, it's Pumfakert. Terrorism is being Each one is using this rizmais of a simlbanim is when Esav vayelach Esav el Yishmol vayikach es nevoyos bas Yishmol. The two got together. Each one took from the other. Machlas bas Yishmol. Okay, but going back to this pasuk, now why talk is the word chesed? Because the answer is we don't really know what the word chesed means. We use chesed in the positive. Chesed just means it means out of control. You have breached your barrier. You have exceeded your limits. When the mead is used in a positive way, so the word chesed is a very positive word. A person owns generosity. Goyim don't give tzedakah like Jews. They always said the accountants, they always have stories that the accountants who work for Jews, they're just in shock. They're in shock at the amount of tzedakah that the average Jew gives. It's Orthodox Jew gives. This is something which is astounding, and why that's called chesed. And I'm a chayiv to give away this money. I have left my boundaries. You have broken forth from what is normal. That's called chesed. So when you do that in a positive form, it's called chesed. To do bizarre, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that was his greatest godless, not his Torah. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, was absurd chesed. The types of chesed that he did for people was just mind-boggling. That's so. But here, when that's also used in the negative form, when a person does averos, which are shocking, incest, which are just not normal, not accepted in society, that is also called chesed. Because chesed doesn't literally mean kindness. It doesn't mean an abomination. Chesed means literally when a person goes to the extreme, goes beyond what is normal, what is accepted. So that can be done both in the positive form and in the negative form. So here we have two different interpretations. Rashi and Mitzvah is a warning that it refers to doing good, and that is something which leads people on. And then we have the other interpretation. Chesed means that the person's taiva here is something. Adam refers to himself, that a person's evil qualities, his base nature, is chasto, is his abomination. It's an abomination. And then the pasuk continues, as we said before, is that another form of abomination is to lead people on and let them down. Okay, let's go.
This is perfect because Yishmael and Esav lead people on. They have different. They've changed their stripes.
They've gone to the, alright, they've gone, they've left their boundaries, and they've gone to extremes, correct. They've gone to other extremes.
I heard on the radio yesterday that in England now the amount of sexual activity with all the thing is very low. People have become satiated. They've stopped having sex to a great degree.
Well, what?
Okay. Okay, let's go to the pasuk Yuchav Gimel. Yiras Hashem lichayim. Okay, we had this idea many times. Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, leads to life. V'saveya yolin bal yipoked ra. Famous pasuk. Every pasuk famous, almost famous. Not everyone, but some of them more than others. A person who is satiated. V'saveya literally means satiated. That means, what is he satiated with? We'll see them with Torah and Yira Shemayim. Yolin, he will lie down, he will go to sleep. Bal Yipoked Ra, he will not be visited by evil. He will not have an evil visit. Now let's see what that means according to the Mesudas first. Chav Gimel, Lechayim, he Siba Lechayim. Yiras Hashem is a Siba, is a catalyst for life. The Yasmid Besviya, and it will cause him, so the word v'saveya is a continuation of what Yirat Shemayim brings, it will cause him to be continuously satiated, satisfied, content, v'lo yizkar el, v'lo yizkar el hara, and he will not be remembered for evil. In Shemayim, they will never be remembered. And the Yom HaZik HaRoin, Rosh Hashanah, they will never write him in the book of Ra, Ratzolaymar loisavoy olav ra. This is a very simple translation. Bal yipoked literally means to be visited. It means Hashem pokad es sara. Hashem remembered sara. So it's just another word for remember. He will not be remembered in heaven to be that he shall suffer any harm. Let's look at the Rashi. This saveya yolin. Hayoreis Hashem shlo Hayoreis Hashem. I guess we have to put a comma. Shlo yipokeid b'shum ra'ah. He will not be yipokeid, remembered for or visited b'shum ra'ah, any evil. That's what Rashi says. Okay, now there's a very, very famous Chazal, and this Chazal is discussed in many different forms. I'll read you the word in the Gemara. Brachos taf nun hey amid beis Omar. Rebbe Yoina, Omar Rebbe Zera, Kol Halon, Shivas Yamim, Beloy Chaloim. If you sleep for 7 days and you do not have a dream, if you do not have a dream every seven days, Nikro Ra, you are in big trouble. See the shrink. Something is not working right in your mind. What?
You have to. You can't have a, if you don't have a REM sleep.
Well, I remember.
You don't have a good sleep.
What? Everybody has REM, but you don't remember some of their dreams.
Okay, but even if you don't remember, you had a dream, at least.
You have to at least.
You don't know, may not remember the dream. By Paro, he woke up in the morning. I know that I had a dream, but I don't remember what the dream was. So are we like that?
He did remember, he just couldn't
Most
interpret
dreams,
it.
Some say there's a different interpretation. Some say he didn't even remember what the dream was. He needed
really?
People to tell him what the dream was, and then the interpretation. I don't know. But here, whatever, can I take the Chazal, whatever it says? It's obviously not clear what it means. But this one, it says, Kol Alon Shivasyon Beloy Chaloyim Nikra Ra. Well, how can you say such a thing, that if a person is called a Ra, it's not good to be called a Ra, an evil person. Now, how do you know that? This pasuk, Shenemar, this Soveya Yolin Bal Yipoked Ra. What does it mean? Al Tikri Soveya. Don't put the vowels in the form of to be satisfied. Ela Sheva. Not a sin, and not a komatz, but a segel and a shin. Sheva. Seven. Sheva Yolin. If you lie down for 7 days, if you sleep for 7 days, Sheva Yolin and Baal Yipoket. Baal Yipoket Kama, meaning and you have not been visited. In other words, Hashem or Malach did not come to you to visit. The word Yipoket means, we translate it according to Rashi, and the Mitzvah means to remember. But Yipoket also means to visit. It says, I've got the possibility that a person is in marital relations is called a visitation. It's called a pekida. It means to visit. It means to come close, to be near, to communicate. So if Baal Yipoket, if 7 days pass, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself or a Malach did not come and visit you by speaking to you in a dream, raw. That means something is wrong, you are in trouble, you're not worthy of communication. Okay, that's the way Chazal interpreted this one. Now the problem, why Dafka 7 days? What is the significance of Dafka 7? So you'll tell me very simply, because 7 is a unit. It's a week. A period of time, a general period of time. That's why we use the word 7. So, okay, but a lot of this idea, as I heard, and I saw this in writing, and I heard this in the speech, is that Sheva really refers to Shabbos. That every 7 days you pass through Shabbos, and Shabbos is supposed to put a person in the proper perspective, to realize, okay, this is one twist on this medrash, to realize that everything in this world is a dream. Kachaloyim yof. We live in a world, and it's very easy, especially if you're successful. People not successful don't have this problem, but if you're successful, you make a lot of money, it's very easy to get drawn into the gashmis of this world. You fix up your house, you have a nice car, you have to go on vacation, you have good food, and you enjoy yourself. It's very easy, if Hashem gives a person bracha, to get suckered into the gashmis of this world, and this world becomes the ikar. But Chazal tell us, this world is a joke. This world is a chalom yof. It's a dream. It's just a dream. It's a chalom. It's everything in this world is insignificant. The only thing that counts is the Torah or Ma'asim Tovim, because that's the only thing you're going to take with you to the Olam HaNitzchi. If a person goes through a week, a whole week, and he doesn't recognize Baal Yipoket, he's not visited which is a term which is not visited by a dream. We don't mean that Hashem mamish communicates, because we all know good and well that no one, we're not zeichet to a madrega where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and speaks to us in dreams. The dreams that we have are total nonsense. The dreams that we have, the scientists tell us, are just rubid rubid things that we think about during the day. These are not divine communications. So it means on a very similar level, a person goes through 7 days and is not visited by the equivalent of a dream in Chazal's terminology, to recognize that this world is a joke. This world, it's not worth it. It's just not worth investing your time and effort to enjoy yourself in this world. A person should pursue spiritual matters. Ra. Such a person is an evil person. And why 7 days? Because the day of the week that Hashem gave us in order to focus and to remember this world is nothing is Shabbos. Because in Shabbos, you bottle memalachtosh. 6 days a week, you're oisik in gashmias, you're oisik in making parnasa and doing malacha and enjoying this world. Shabbos is no malacha. Shabbos is meant to be a day, a kula ruchni. So if Shabbos passes and Shabbos does not have an effect on you to a polite wake-up call to remind you that everything that you've been doing the whole week is just, has to be used l'shem shemayim and not for its own sake, ra, the person is in a very bad state of mind. Okay, that's one mahalach. I think this mahalach is a very good mahalach for the average person who doesn't have a divine revelations. If you want it to be the Beis Yosef, we know how to malach, the Magid Mesharim. He wrote a sefer, Magid Mesharim. What's it say, Magid Mesharim? Everything that was taught him by the malach. The Magid is a malach in Sharim called the Magid. He comes to you in the night and he teaches you Torah. The Gra also had the option of having this. And the Gra says that the malach came to the Gra every night. They wanted to teach the Gra, and the Gra said, no, thank you. Because Torah that you learn that comes from a malach comes easy, it's not, you're not going to have any satisfaction. So the Gra, so they say he dismissed the malach. You go your way, I can handle it, I can be okay. But the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, the Magid came to him and he listened and he talked and he wrote a whole sefer, everything. Who else in the Magid? The famous verse, the Ramchal. The Ramchal, he wrote encyclopedias. Encyclopedias of what he learned from the Magid. And what happened to these encyclopedias? What happened to all of them? They were burnt. They were destroyed. Because of the Gedol, because he lived in the aftermath of Shabbos at Tzvi. And they thought he was going to be another Shabbos at Tzvi. And they put him in Cherem. They put him in Cherem. And they, all the Rabbanim of the generation told him that you have to take all your writings and burn it or bury it, destroy it. They seized. But the bottom line is, we have almost nothing. We have. I don't think we have anything left from him. We have Mesilas Yesharim, another few Sfarim, but all of these encyclopedia, these works that he had, that he was revealed to him by the Magid in his dreams, were destroyed. But here there is, that's okay, there's another interpretation of that. The dream over here means, if you don't have aspirations to accomplish great things, go a whole week, you go through Shabbos, every once in a while a person, you come in contact with greatness. You go to a shir, wow. Or you read a book, or you meet a person, you meet someone, or something in life happens. There are many wake-up calls. And when you have these wake-up calls, a person has chalomos. You have dreams, aspirations to accomplish, to achieve great things. If 7 days of your life go by and you don't have, during that 7-day period, an aspiration to accomplish more than what you have already in your life, you're satisfied with what you have and you're on the decline, ra, this is a very bad sign. Okay. Yeah. The Malach HaMavis, yeah, the Baal Yipagi, oh, so he will not be visited by the Ra, by the Malach HaMavis?
Yeah, death.
Ra, okay, it could be. A person.
Death.
A sudden death, Yipagi Ra, to be visited, all types of evil. That's also a form of evil, but I don't think it says specifically referring to the Malach HaMavis. Yiras Hashem L'chaim v'saveh yolin Baal Yipagi Ra, Sheva Yolin, you'll not be visited by the Malach HaMavis, who is called the ultimate Ra. Okay, it could be. Enochanami, I am Panu Mutar. Okay, then there's another interpretation is Okay, this is another Gemara in Brachos Daf Yudalid. The Gemara says, Rav Acha braid Rabbi Chiba Rabba Hachi Amar Rabbi Chiba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Hamaspia Atzim Divrei Torah V'lo. Anyone that learns Torah, Maspia here V'sveh means that you learn Torah, you fill up your mind with Divrei Torah and you go to sleep. Ain V'vashum Isoy B'Seros Ros. You're not going to have bad dreams. Okay, people who are suffering from nightmares, the solution is to learn a daf gemara before they go to sleep. That's what it says the gemara. Da yisaveya from divrei Torah, that's what you will think about when you are sleeping. You will not have bad dreams. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk. Chav Dalet. Toman otzel yodai batzalochas gam el piu lo yeshivena. Here we are describing the lazy man. The person is so lazy. He's so lazy. Doesn't even have the effort. Doesn't even have the desire to put the food in his mouth. Now this is not a joke. I'll give you a modern day example. There are people out there that they don't take care of themselves. They don't eat nourishing meals. They live alone, and everything they eat is microwave. They don't have nourishing meals. Why? They're too lazy. Number one, to prepare a meal. It takes an enormous amount of effort, as you all know, to prepare healthy food, and they're too lazy to go to the store to go buy something, take out whatever you're going to go buy. You can buy a prepared meal. So the most they can do is they'll store up in the freezer frozen meals, and they'll put it in the microwave. So someone once told me, I'm so lazy that I don't even have the patience to wait 3 minutes to heat it up in the microwave. That's the degree of, it's one thing to be lazy, you're not going to prepare yourself fresh meal. It could take an hour, 2 hours to go and prepare a nutritious meal at least once in a while. Forget about it. That I'm sure I'm not going to do. I'm not even going to go to the store. I'm not going to even go to the restaurant or go to a store to buy nutritious milk. That's also, I'm too lazy. So the next best thing is at least have in the freezer something which is healthy and warm it up in the microwave. Even that I'm too lazy to do because it takes 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes. When I come home, I'm so tired, I just want to go to sleep. I'll just take, I'll take something in the refrigerator or whatever it is. Because even that's really what this pasuk says, that yeah, laziness is a sickness.
Salad doesn't take very long.
Okay, but this, it's a sickness.
If you eat a candy bar, it's even shorter.
It's even, exactly. I'll eat a candy bar, exactly. So you'll stock up, you'll order online the whole candy bars. And the reason why I'm eating the candy bar, not because I don't have it in the freezer, because the freezer takes 5 minutes. So what's 5 minutes? You waste 5 minutes in a heartbeat. I'm too lazy even for that. I'd just rather eat the candy bars and the junk and all the junk food, because that's ready for instant gratification, satisfaction. And that's a sickness. And this is probably even a term for this among therapists. And that's really what it says, that laziness can go to a degree where the person is so lazy, he'll put us into the pot to take out a piece of meat, and the meat is there, it's fresh, it's ready to go. I'm just too lazy to pull it out of the pot. I'll just let it sit in the pot and rot. But it's there, it's hot, it's delicious. I'm just too lazy to bring the fork to my mouth. That's what it says here. Toman otzel yodai bat salachas. One translation, salachas means a pot, a hot pot, a pot that a cholon pot that has food. The otzel, the lazy man, he's toman, he buries his hand in the pot as if he's about to retrieve food, but gamel piu lo yeshivena, but doesn't have enough drive to lift the food from the pot and put it in his mouth. That's how far, and it's a marsh. That's the sickness of the slippery slope of getting lazy. What? How far it can go? And if this is true when it comes to food, which is natural for a person, which a person naturally needs and has a desire to eat, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so this is true when it comes to intellectual pursuits. When it comes, I want to learn shas. So I'll learn a daf today, and you need, until you get around to learning a pasuk and chumash, until you get around, people go to education, go to college, take one course, you can't even get through krich through one course, get 3 credits. You can't even get through the other one. Oh, you originally on a sagas, so you're going to get a postdoctorate. You can't even get past one course because of the laziness. The degree, the sickness of laziness, that's how far it can go even when it comes to food. That is one interpretation of this pasuk. Let's see pasuk chavdal with the sitz chavdal. Taman otzel, hinei, behold, he otzel yisatzel b'malacha, he is blazing in his labor, v'chol hayoim oisek b'achila. So here, what I told you was a totally different interpretation. Now let's see how that with the sitz. He says just the opposite. The otzel, he just sits and eats the whole day. Just he's a couch potato. Instead of going to work and doing something productive with his life, he sits on the couch and he eats. The otzel, yisatzel b'malacha, v'chol hayom oisek b'achila, he's oisek in eating. The yodav tumunim betzalachas, and his hands are buried in the pot. In other words, he eats and eats and eats the whole day. Lekaneach hatavshil, to lick clean the tavshil, hamistabek bo, which cleaves to the pot. Now, what then does the end of the pasuk mean when it says that his hand does not go to his mouth? Here's the scary part. Eventually, he runs out of money. Money doesn't grow on trees. And when he uses up all of his money, then he doesn't have what to eat. The end will be that he won't have any food left in the pot either, because if he's not making him lively, he's not making money, and he's just eating the whole day, the money's going to run out. He's not going to have what he developed me with the Hoshev, he's not going to have what to put to his mouth. So that's how the Mesudim, he breaks them into parts. Otzel is Taman Yoda, but Salachas, the whole day he sits and he eats the whole day, that's all he does, and that's going to lead to his Churban. He has no income, no Parnasa. Ultimately, God will not be able to put his hand to his mouth because there won't be any food left over, and he won't have any money to purchase new food. Pasuk of Dal and Rashi. Rashi has many interpretations for the word tzalochas. We translate it so far according to our interpretation and according to what Mitzudah says as a pot, a hot pot. But Rashi says it's not so simple. B'yoyre first, Rashi says, taman etzel yoda b'tzalochas b'yoyre chama. Okay, that's what we said so far. When you remove a pot of food from the fire, upinua reikonis, and you upinuha reikonis machmas yodoi b'seicha. Mecham upinua reikonis, and it's empty, and he sticks his hand empty reikonis. Mechamim yodoi b'seicha, he warms up his hand inside of the pot. Period. So here, according to Vidoy Malo, where do we find this word? The word salachas being used in this context to mean that it means a pot, a hot pot, pasuk nivayamim. V'daymaloi bishloi b'sirois uvedudim uvetzalochis. They cook the meat of the korbanos in sirois, a sir, it's a type of pot, a dud is also a pot, a big pot, uvetzalochis, and in pans. So we see over here from the context of the pasuk and divrayam, the word salochis is grouped together with a dud and with a seer. And clearly these two words mean forms of pots, so we can be absolutely certain that the word salachas here also means a pot. Therefore, what then does the pasuk mean? So Rashi seems to be saying something different than we learned until now, is that he warms up, you put your hands in your pocket. Why do lazy people walk around with hands in their pockets? Because they want to keep their hands warm. If you're a busy person, people, you ever see the Baal Malacha, plumbers, electricians, people who work, who do labor, they never wear coats. Even when it's 0 degrees outside, when the plumber comes, how come the plumber is never wearing a coat? It's 30 degrees outside. How come is that? Because when you're working, you're hustling the whole day, and you're schlepping, and you're sweating the whole day, you don't need to wear a coat. You're always warm. You're always warm. But when you are doing nothing... Then you get cold, your hands are cold. So you put your hands in your pocket to keep your hands warm. So here, that's what we're describing. The lazy guy is so lazy. He's so lazy, it's not even enough for him to put his hands in his pockets to keep, because that's not going to be enough warmth. He needs to put his hand into the pot. he needs to put his hand into the pot in order to keep himself warm. Being cold is an indication that a person is lazy. Because if he was active, he would generate enough body heat to keep him cold. So that's how Rashi appears to. We're not dealing with food, we're dealing with a hot pot. Toman otzel yodoi bat salochas. He's always looking to keep his hands warm because he's lazy, he's not involved in anything, any activity. Gamal piul lo yeshiveno. And the pasuk then, now Rashi over here does not tell us yet what the end of the pasuk means. So it just means he will not have parnasa. He will not be able to bring his hand in yeshiven. Maybe that means that he won't take it out. He won't take his hand out of the pot because he's so cold, he's freezing cold. He just keeps it there to remain warm. This is Rashi's first interpretation.
He's comfortable in this position, that he doesn't want
to
move on.
So what does it mean to his mouth?
You put your hand in the pot, right?
You leave it there.
You're comfortable.
It's and you don't take it out of the pot. Okay, you don't leave it.
You turn on the steam. He sits there.
No,
he just sits there.
He doesn't want to do anything.
He doesn't move.
He's too comfortable.
Okay, let's see now the Rashi's second interpretation. Rashi's second interpretation is Mishum Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Shavati. Okay, do a good study of every time Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Rabbeinu, all Rashi's Rabbeim. Who's Rashi's famous? Who's his Rabbi? Rabbeinu Yochar, right? Rashi quotes one of his Rebbeim very often, but here we have a new Rebbe, Mishum Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi. Do we ever have that before? You ever remember that before? Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi. Who is Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi? Everyone ring a bell? No. It's not the Rabbi Yitzchak in the first Rashi in Chumash, that's the Tana. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. That's now the Olam says Rabbi Yitzchak is Rashi's father. Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, they cannot. No, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki in the first Rashi, it's really this thing's parasha, Chesh Zeluchem, is a Tana in the Medrash. So people always say Rashi wanted to give credit to his father, so the first parish in the Chumash is from his father. Can't be. Because you look at the source of the Medrash, Chesh Zeluchem, it means Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a Tana, it's not Rashi's father. But here we have a new Yitzchak called Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi. Can't be Rashi, because Rashi was not a Levi. Right? Rashi was Sheva Yehuda. So Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi Shemati, Bitzalachas, Miloshon Targum, it means a crack. Loshon Targum vayivoka means the earth split, and what does it mean to split? It says vitzolach. It means that the Targum of vayivoka of a beka split means tzalach means this shorish tzalach. So what then does it mean then? It means then a lazy person, he puts his hand in his pockets. Same idea. A pocket is a slit in your pants or a slit in your shirt. Okay, we have sophisticated pockets today. We have pouches and all these fancy things. But in the ancient times, if you put your hand in, you have a slit in your shirt, and you put your hand inside. That's what if you have a pouch or not, I don't know, but that's what it means. So the lazy person, he goes like this. Basically, he folds his hands, he sits around the whole day, does nothing. And he puts his hand... Not a pot. No, that's a new parish. Doesn't mean a pot. No, it's a whole new... We're in a Yitzchak HaLevi. There's a new interpretation. No, not old time. Not old time. A pot is a crack. It's a big opening. It's an opening, a cavity. It's a massive cavity. Okay, let's see what he says. B'shas atzina the hagalid, at the time when it's cold and there's frost, this ice, al shem shakor hagalid, the reason why we call the word salach, we call it from the word vayvoka, salach mishas hatzina, when it's cold, hagalid, al shem shakor hagalid, cold and galid and ice, mivakin vitzolchim, it causes the hands to crack. It causes the fingers to crack when it's cold. And what then does it mean? So then it means to be a toman otzel yodoi bat salachas. He buries his hand in his own cracks. Okay, that's I told you by mistake the third interpretation of Rashi. So this means toman means that he's idle. He's idle, and he just lets his hands crack. He toman otzel yodoi bat salachas. Al shem shakor v'agalid mevakin v'tzolchim hayadayim.
It freezes in, no?
When it's cold, it causes a person's hands to crack. Toman otzel yodoy ba'tzalochas. The otzel, he buries his hand in the crack. What does that mean? I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. One more time. Moshe Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Shemati Bitzalachas Miloshon Targum Vayivaka Vitzolach Kam. What does that mean?
He's so lazy, he doesn't do anything.
Do anything. Bishas Hatzin Vagalid. Al Shem Shakor Vagalid Mivakim Bitzolchim Hayadayim Cold. Due to cold, he just lets his hands crack. All right. Vani Shamati, third interpretation, so I told you originally, it means like a lazy, the stature, the pose of a lazy person is to put your hands into your, just to fold your hands into your shirt, into like that. So you're putting into the cracks of your garments. Vani Shamati, Bitzalachas, Kera Hecholuk, the slit of a garment, Shakarin, which they call this French word, Tuloimar. He puts his hands in his shirt. Some svarim don't have this third interpretation, or maybe the entire interpretation. I'm not sure what he's referring to in the parentheses. So that is another interpretation of the laziness of the person. All right, we'll stop over here.